Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, you know that in a couple of weeks, the new President of the United States is going to be inaugurated. A large crowd is going to gather to watch him being sworn in by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and the Congress is going to all have front row seats. Now, although he was elected actually end of last year and has been working hard since then, this is when he officially begins his job. And as unpredictable as his path has been up to this point, it's hard to predict what the future holds for him and what he's going to do. But many who are watching are going to be wondering especially what the future holds for them. How is the way he does his job going to affect their jobs and whether they have a job and what they're able to do and what happens to them? Well, I think of this because today the church is celebrating the baptism of Jesus, which is basically his inauguration into office as our Messiah, prophet, priest, and king. Although he was this already at his birth, long before this, which we just celebrated a few weeks ago, at his baptism is when he officially begins his public ministry. And so, John the Baptist is the one who does the swearing in, while a huge crowd looks on, and the Father and the Holy Spirit take a front row seat. However, he already knows fully what the future holds for him, because God has it all planned out before the beginning of creation. But this event is interesting especially for us, because of what it shows about what is in store for us, because of how he does his job. What he does makes all the difference in what we do and what happens to us. So as we look at our text, we see how John says we can't, by ourselves, get it right. But Jesus says getting baptized by John is right. And so the Father says what is done by Jesus is right. Let's think first about how John says we can't, by ourselves, get it right. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you." You know, if you're going to give a room a fresh coat of paint, first thing you do before you start painting is you've got to tape all the edges and the outlets and things like that. Now, some think, it'll be fine. I'll just be careful. That's a foolish thing to do. Even when you're careful, there's always some to be cleaned up. This is why long before John, the Jewish people already had ritual washings that they regularly had to do. They were prescribed by God. Because no matter how careful we are to do what is right, we still need to be cleaned up before we're presentable to a holy God. But still, this washing that John is doing now is something new and different. It's different from those ritual washings because he's not just preaching that people should wash themselves, but that they need to be washed by someone else. Our problem, you see, is like that spot you just can't reach in your back, or like how one hand can't wash itself when it's dirty. This time of year, we're reminded that we need to wash our hands often, keep germs that are everywhere from getting into us and making us miserably sick. As long as we live in this world, the disease of sin is constantly trying to get into all the cracks of our broken lives, making us miserable, sick in heart and in mind, with guilt and fear and despair. and worse yet, leading to the loss of faith and spiritual death, unless we are constantly washed clean by God's forgiveness. So, even John the Baptist, who calls other people to be washed clean by repenting of their sins and being washed by them, and is used by God to do that, he knows, I myself need to be washed. We have to say the same. No matter how careful we are, no matter how much we say to ourselves, let me get this right this time, we must confess daily that we need to be washed, which is why we need to continue to live in our baptisms. Not only our hands need washing because of the things we do that are not right, but our mouths need to be washed out, and our minds need to be washed clean of all the dirt that gets stuck in the cracks. But now, even John is surprised by something new that's added to this washing. Jesus comes and says, his getting washed by Jesus, excuse me, his getting washed by John is right. Verse 15, Jesus answers him, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. Well, this Jordan River, where John is baptizing, is really muddy. This is not necessarily a place that anybody's going to come to get physically clean. But now picture all these spiritually filthy people that John has been baptizing and washing here. Makes me think of back in the olden days, if the several people needed to take a bath, they all did it in the same bath water, and so you're going to have the cleanest one get baptized first, washed first, and then the dirtiest last. And so the Pharisees, when they come, they refuse to be baptized by John. They're not about to get in the water with all those dirty people. But now Jesus comes to be baptized after many others, and John says, let me get this right. You want to get baptized by me? You're cleaner than all of us. But this is exactly why Jesus comes to be baptized. He is comes like a sponge to soak up all the dirty water in our lives, like a filter taking the dirt into himself. Later, Peter, like John, thought, oh, it is not right for Jesus to suffer and die on the cross like a criminal. But that, too, was a necessary part of fulfilling all righteousness for us. Righteousness is simply doing what God says has to be done. And Jesus taking our place in his baptism and on the cross has to be done in order to fulfill righteousness for us. This is why he was born. This is why he lived as one of us. He came to do for us everything that we failed to do perfectly. His perfect obedience included all the powerful, miraculous things he did, but it also included things that he passively experienced with us, including his humble birth, his baptism, and his death. This is all part of his immersing himself in our lives. Reminds me of when I was a kid, taking swimming lessons, which is something I was never any good at. Some instructors would stand on the side of the pool telling us what to do. Well, you know, that's sort of hard to hear when you're already sinking down into the water. But others would get into the water with us, and they would hold on to us so that we did not have to be afraid of drowning. In Jesus' baptism, he is getting into the water with us. And in our baptism, he holds on to us. In fact, he even embraces us. So that, as Paul wrote in our epistle reading to the Romans, everything that happens for him happens for us, and vice versa. He does everything for us, but at the same time, he takes us with him. And so this is also true of what happens next, when the Father says that what is done by Jesus is right. When Jesus is baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. You may remember, about 8 years ago, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to Barack Obama at the very beginning of his presidency, recognizing not just what he had done, but what he was expected to do. Here at the inauguration of Jesus, the Father speaks approval of Jesus, not just what he has done, but what he is about to do. So John does not need to wonder. Yes, he is getting it right, both in Jesus' baptism and in his blood bath on the cross. He is making peace between God and man by his being both perfect God and lowly man at the same time. This season of Epiphany is all about revealing who Jesus is. And here at his baptism, it's revealed he is God. He is united with the Trinity, the beloved Son of the Father, and intimately connected with the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, his baptism is showing he is true man with us. This is why his inauguration isn't just about him, but it's about us. Now, because of our being united with him through our baptism, what the Father speaks of him is also true of us. God's word makes us God's dear children, whom he graciously loves. And so we are sons who have an inheritance in heaven. God puts his Spirit on us. And that Spirit works to give us certain faith in God and works with God's power to cause us to obey and gives us confident peace. John later says he knew he got it right about Jesus when he saw this Holy Spirit coming down from above. That was a sign that he was given about who Jesus was. God has also given us signs to make us sure that Jesus is with us. It's his sacraments, our baptism, Holy Communion. Through these, God tells us you can get this righteousness because of all that Jesus did, uniting himself with his baptism, with us in his baptism at the beginning of his ministry, and with his death at the end of his ministry, he has fulfilled all righteousness. So now I can see what is coming for me as well. I am made righteous through faith in him. I'm also made through faith in him to live righteously in him. So, as John says, by ourselves, we can't get it right. We constantly need cleaning up by what someone else does for us. But Jesus says, getting baptized by John is right because he has come to immerse himself in the filth of our sins in order to fulfill everything that is needed to make us righteous. And the Father says, what is done by Jesus is right. Not only what he does here, but what he's going on to do on the cross. And because we are united with him through our baptism, what he continues to do in our lives today and in the new life that he gives us after death. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.